sobre cómo podemos honor o cómo podemos darle honor a la vida del Papa Benedicto XVI en nuestra vida como religiosos, como laicos, pero también con nuestro testimonio en la iglesia. ¿Qué le podrías decir a la audiencia?
I would like to say to the priests and faithful, take the legacy of Pope Benedict serious, especially his main concern for the faith, so that the Catholic faith, it's unchangeable. Since the apostles, we have to have this concern and zeal to live personally the fullness, the integrity of Catholic faith, to teach it to the people and to defend the Catholic faith. So his episcopal motto of Benedict XVI as a bishop, Ratzinger, he chose these words of the letter of St. John the Apostle, cooperatores veritatis, in Latin, it is cooperators of the truth. So the truth is Christ, and the truth is the Church, which the unchanging teaching all over 2,000 years. We have to keep this and transmit this and defend this also. Defend, don't be afraid to defend the unchanging Catholic faith of all times. No Pope, no Synod can change the Catholic faith. Under no pretext, no ambiguity are allowed to change the Catholic faith.
Bienvenidos a Conoce, Ama y Vive tu Fe. Este es el programa donde compartimos el Evangelio y profundizamos en las bellezas y riquezas de nuestra fe católica. Les habla su amigo y hermano Luis Román y quisiera recordarles que no podemos amar lo que no conocemos y que solo vivimos lo que amamos. Y en el día de hoy me acompaña un rostro muy conocido que yo sé que ustedes conocen y ya hemos tenido aquí en el programa. Es su excelencia el obispo Atanasio Snyder, Monseñor Atanasio Snyder, a quien queremos muchísimo. Y pues hoy vamos a estar hablando del legado de Benedicto XVI. Vamos a estar hablando de muchísimas cosas. Creo que va a ser un programa muy enriquecedor. Y algo distinto que vamos a hacer en el día de hoy, por razones de tiempo y logística, yo voy a estar haciendo las preguntas en español y el Monseñor Snyder las va a contestar en inglés. Yo voy a colocar subtítulos en español en las respuestas de él. Incluso también voy a colocar la transcripción en un link más abajo para los que quieran leerla, pues así la pueden leer las respuestas del Monseñor Snyder. Pero no se vayan cuando empiecen a escuchar el inglés porque vamos a tener las letras justo debajo para que ustedes los puedan entender. To the audience that speak English, welcome to my program. Today we have the Excellency Monseñor Atanasio Snyder in our program. And usually this program is in Spanish. My episodes are all in Spanish. I have a few in English. So today we're going to do it bilingual. I'm going to ask the questions in Spanish. And Your Excellency is going to respond in English. So we're going to have subtitles in both languages. So both people that are in our show right now watching it in English or want to understand Spanish, either or, you will be able to benefit of this great interview. So first of all, Monsignor Atanasio Snyder, welcome to the show. Welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Thank you for the invitation. God bless you.
Thank you, thank you. A mí me gustaría, Monseñor, pues que comencemos con una oración, si no es problema, para que podamos encomendar el programa a la Santísima Virgen María y al Señor, a nuestro Señor Jesucristo.
In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Amen.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Amen. Gracias, Monseñor. La primera pregunta que quisiera hacerle, yendo ya al grano, ¿cuál es el mayor impacto que causó Benedicto XVI en su vida personal y su vocación como sacerdote y luego como obispo?
The first thing is, as a priest, and I always had a deep esteem of Cardinal Ratzinger, especially what he wrote about the liturgy. This was my first impact. Even I wrote as a young student his book, The Feast of the Faith, in German, Das Fest des Glaubens, which he wrote 40 years ago, and where he already established the sound traditional principles, what does mean liturgy. And there he already, 40 years ago, he defended the necessity to celebrate a holy mass towards the Lord, to be and to have more elements of reverence, sacred music, Gregorian chant, in the celebration of the liturgy. And this marked me deeply as a young student, this his first book on liturgy. And then also his other historical, I would say, book, it was the report about the faith, so-called, in 85, where he very clearly identified the causes of the crisis of the church, which is a crisis of faith. So, and then his various other interventions as a prefect of the congregation to defend the faith, especially about the errors of the theology of liberation, since I lived in the 80s in Brazil, and I experienced the very negative influence of the theology of liberation in the life of the church, damaging the faith and the liturgy and politicizing the entire Catholic life and faith. So these interventions of about theology of liberation also influenced me and strengthened me when I was living in Brazil. And then, of course, as a pope, to the second part of your question, his legacy, to my opinion, his pontificate is characterized for, will be, to my opinion, for all history, in his historical document, Summorum Pontificum, about the traditional liturgy, where he again solemnly affirmed that the traditional liturgy was never abrogated, and the traditional liturgy of the Mass has the same right, the same appreciation in the Church as the Novus Ordo. This was a historical document, and I think the most important of all his pontificate.
I completely agree, Your Excellency. Completely agree. Thanks to that document, I was able to learn and know the traditional Latin Mass. I didn't know, and I was born and raised as a Catholic, and I didn't know there was another way to celebrate Mass. And it was, the one that we always had. I wanted to reiterate that point in my second questions. And basically, I'm going to say in Spanish in a moment, but why do you believe that exactly that you just said? Why do you believe that the greatest and most beneficent act of the pontifice of Benedict XVI was the motu proprio Summorum Pontificum? ¿Por qué, en su opinión, el acto mayor y más beneficioso del pontificado de Benedicto XVI fue el motu proprio Summorum Pontificum?
Well, because we have to know the circumstances, because after the council, but at least after the introduction of the new Mass in 69-70, Pope Paul VI basically forbade the celebration of the traditional Mass. The traditional Mass was considered as something forbidden. And so in such a situation, and then John Paul II slowly opened the door, not so much for the possibility of celebration, with some restrictions still even. And so it was a general atmosphere in the church that the traditional Mass is something forbidden, something harmful. Really, it was the general perception. And this is so against the nature of the Catholic Church. Why? Because what was celebrated and loved and esteemed by the Church and by the saints during more than one millennium cannot be something forbidden or harmful. This contradicts the nature of the Church. The Church is tradition, and in the Church there are no revolutions. And therefore, this revolutionary attitude of Paul the VI and basically of the episcopate under Paul the VI and John Paul II, still continued with Benedict the XVI, was so hostile to the tradition. And so with this document, Benedict the XVI marked, really a historical mark, saying that the Church cannot behave in such a way. It contradicts the nature of the Church. And this I consider as a symbolic act also, that the entire Church has again to re-establish, re-estate the value of tradition, now concretely in the liturgy, but also, and this will have an effect also on the doctrine, because liturgy and doctrine are inseparable, united, and have a mutual influence one upon another. And therefore, I think that a future pope should also make a kind of document to reestablish the doctrinal tradition of the Church, and to say that the novelties or new doctrines which were introduced partly by the Vatican II and the popes after the Council, which were not proposed infallibly and definitely, thanks be to God, but in a pastoral manner. Even so, it was magisterium, but more with a characteristic of pastoral. And so that these specific elements of which are some way not so easy to reconcile with the constant doctrinal tradition of the Church, let us say the meaning of religious freedom, the wrong ecumenism, and the interreligious dialogue. This is a very important issue which contains in itself a tendency to doctrinal relativism. Even so, we have beautiful statements of the Vatican II and the popes after the Council that the Catholic Church is, and the Christianity, the only one way to salvation. But in the same time, there are other affirmations which are undermining these statements or actions, like interreligious meetings, Assisi meeting, and so on. This is basically in fact undermining the uniqueness, the absolute uniqueness of the way of the Catholic Church. So this should be corrected, to my opinion, such elements. So it is connected. The tradition should be again be reestablished in all clarity and unambiguity.
Excellent, Your Excellency. Really, really. Now, I want to go a little bit further in the future now, and now after Pope Benedict's death, right? We had his secretary, personal secretary, making some expressions. It's been a little bit debate right now in the Catholic world what he said. I wanted to ask you, Benedict XVI secretary Ganswine claimed that Pope Benedict XVI read Tradiciones Custodes with pain in his heart. What can you tell us about that? En español, Ganswine, secretario de Benedicto XVI, ha afirmado que el Papa Benedicto XVI leyó Tradiciones Custodes con dolor en el corazón. ¿Qué nos puede decir de eso?
It's a fact, as Monsignor Gensven said, and it is very, we have to lament this, that Pope Francis did such an act of discrimination, really, despising a tradition of the Church so long, and undoing, contradicting directly what did his immediate predecessor. I mean, it is very sad. I mean, we cannot simply, the Pope Francis could not in such a way act. I mean, leaving his predecessor and there's a lack of respect of his predecessor and doing again a revolution contradicting what really the Church transmitted during the centuries and the millennium. And this I consider very sad, and therefore I understand fully the reaction of Pope Benedict, that it really hit his heart.
Definitely, yes. I was surprised too when Tradiciones Custodes was published. I was thinking, wow, they didn't wait until Benedict XVI was maybe not there anymore, which is something sad, you know, to see. I wanted to add a question, Your Excellency, with all your authorization, of course. I wanted to ask you, do you think Pope Francis might change his mind in the future? Do you think he has a? Do you really think it's an opportunity, maybe in years, that maybe he might change his mind and reverse what he said in Tradiciones Custodes?
Yes, we hope and we pray. I pray for this since years, every day, for Pope Francis, that God may illuminate him, give him the recognition and open his eyes and free him from this kind of spiritual blindness, his rejection of tradition. It is not fitting for a pope. The pope's task is to transmit carefully and faithfully the entire tradition of the Church, including the liturgy. And so this act of Pope Francis contradicts the papal mission itself. And so therefore we have to pray for him, that only God may open his eyes and miracles happen. Why not? We have to believe that and pray much and do sacrifices, that God may illuminate Pope Francis, that he may revert again to the love of tradition.
Amen, amen. My next question is, what do you think of the decision, talking about tradition, right? What do you think of the decision, the Pope Benedict the 16th Requiem Mass, for the first time since the 6th century, was said without the Roman canon? ¿Qué piensa su excelencia de la decisión de que en la misa de Requiem del Papa Benedicto XVI, por primera vez desde el siglo VI, no se utilizara en el canon romano?
It is a further sign of a breach with the tradition in this pontificate of Pope Francis. There are several public signs simply to break the tradition, to make revolutions. Even it is a smaller sign, but nevertheless. And we have to lament this. It's only, I repeat, a further demonstration of the entire pontificate of Pope Francis to break these bridges with the tradition of all generations before him.
Yes, definitely. And we know that for Pope Benedict XVI, the Roman canon was important. Sabemos que para Benedicto XVI, the Roman canon fue importante. Can you elaborate a little bit on that quickly?
Yes, the Roman canon was the only one prayer since the first centuries. We have from the fourth century, the text of the Roman canon by the witness of St. Ambrose. And surely it was not invented in the first century, that the Roman Church was always very traditional. And so when St. Ambrose found in the fourth century already the text of the, said this is the Roman canon, it should be have already before the fourth century by logics. And so an old continuous use of this most central prayer of the Roman Church should not be changed and cannot be substituted even by other Eucharistic, should not be substituted by other Eucharistic prayers. It's against the nature specificity of the Roman Rite and should be kept. And this is the most sure expression of the tradition of the Holy Mass, of the sacrifice of the Mass, the Roman canon. Canon means a rule which not change. Like we have the canon of the faith, which is called the symbol of faith or canon of faith, the Apostolic Creed and the Niceo-Constantinopolitan Creed. These two has the Roman Church in the liturgy. You see, you cannot change the Apostolic Creed. A pope has not the power. Say, now I will change the Apostolic Creed. You have not to pray it more or very limited. And I will give you another Creed 3 or Creed 4, another new text. It would be contrary to the entire tradition, the Pope's. And I think that no Catholic would accept such a prohibition of to use the Apostolic Creed or the Creed of the Council of Nicaea in Constantinople. Why? Because it's so old. It was sanctified by the tradition, by the use, constant universal use in the Roman Rite. In the same, the constant universal use in the Roman Rite of the canon of the Mass should be kept always and should not be substituted by other prayers and not be limited.
Thank you, Your Excellency. My next question, ¿qué nos puede decir? Well, in English first, what can you tell us about the letter recently published, I believe, that was sent by Pope Benedict XVI to the Fraternity of St. Peter, and I think other groups as well, just after Tradiciones Custodes. ¿Qué nos puede decir de la carta enviada a la Fraternidad Sacerdotal San Pedro y a otras a otros institutos por parte de Benedicto XVI, justo después de haber sido publicado Tradiciones Custodes?
I personally did not read this letter, but I heard that it was an encouragement, that Pope Benedict encouraged these institutes to continue their fidelity to this liturgy and wanted to express that he is close to them in this difficult. He understood that this is a difficult situation for these institutes of the traditional Mass. And I consider this a very paternal gesture of Pope Benedict to write such a letter of support.
I completely agree, definitely. Your Excellency, last question. I would like to give you the opportunity through this mean, my channel, especially I know for a fact that there's a lot of Spanish speaker, priests and bishops that follow my channel and admire you. And I would like to give you the opportunity, anything you wanted to say to them, that maybe we can honor Pope Benedict XVI, the way we present ourselves, the way we live our life as religious person, and also for the lady. Me gustaría darle la oportunidad, Monseñor, Su Excelencia, de que nos diera unas últimas palabras a mi audiencia, que mayormente es en español, para que le dé palabras a los sacerdotes y obispos que sé que siguen el programa, sobre cómo podemos honor o cómo podemos darle honor a la vida del Papa Benedicto XVI en nuestra vida como religiosos, como laicos, pero también con nuestro testimonio en la iglesia. ¿Qué le podría decir a la audiencia?
I would like to say to the priests and faithful, take the legacy of Pope Benedict serious, especially his main concern for the faith. so that the Catholic faith, it's unchangeable. Since the apostles, we have to have this concern and zeal to live personally the fullness, the integrity of Catholic faith, to teach it to the people and to defend the Catholic faith. So his episcopal motto of Benedict XVI as a bishop, Ratzinger, he chose these words of the letter of St. John the Apostle, cooperatores veritatis, in Latin. It is cooperators of the truth. So the truth is Christ, and the truth is the Church, which the unchanging teaching all over 2,000 years. We have to keep this and transmit this and defend it is also. Defend, don't be afraid to defend the unchanging Catholic faith of all times. No Pope, no Synod can change the Catholic faith. Under no pretext, no ambiguity are allowed to change the Catholic faith. So we have to, so as St. Athanasius said, we have to live not for the time. We have to live and to serve the Lord, who is always the same. And I think it was a basic conviction of Cardinal Ratzinger and Pope Benedict also. He loved so much the Church Fathers, the Fathers of the Church. And then his deep love for the Holy Liturgy, for the sacredness, for reestablishing the celebration towards the Lord. I would encourage the priests, if you can, do this also, celebrate the Mass towards the Lord. It would be a legacy of Pope Benedict. And also, my personal experience, I wrote him once a letter, 2005, and I asked him earnestly, insistently, that he may give Holy Communion only to persons kneeling and on the tongue. Because in the first years of his pontificate, he himself, even in St. Peter's Basilica, gave to people the communion in hand, Pope Benedict. When I saw this, I said, it is not possible. And I implored him. I wrote him in German a letter and asked him, please, Holy Father, do not this. Give now a communion only kneeling and on the tongue. And he did this, actually. From 2008 until the end of his pontificate, Pope Benedict ordered that there will be put kneelers when he distributes communion in all the countries where he was visiting. And in the Basilica of St. Peter, we could see people came, knelt down, and the Pope gave to them the communion, kneeling and on the tongue. So this is a concrete gesture. We can him also to imitate him here in this manner, and then to be very supernatural-minded, to have our perspective, our view for eternity, not only for this short time and the material issues, temporal issues, but for eternity, for the supernatural view. And this I would suggest you, priests, faithful, to continue this, what Pope Benedict left us with his example, with his words.
Excellent. Thank you, Monsignor. Thank you for the time, and I'm really, really touched by the words that you just said. Gracias, Monseñor, por el tiempo. De verdad que me siento bien tocado por todo lo que acaba de mencionar. Yo obviamente no nos podemos ir sin que nos den la bendición. Yo quería pues aprovechar y pedirle a la audiencia que de una vez también aprovechen y miren en los enlaces que voy a colocar debajo. Vamos a colocar también las otras entrevistas que hemos hecho con el Monseñor Athanasius Schneider, que las otras sí son en español, esta pues tenemos los subtítulos. y sé que les van a gustar muchísimo. Habla muchísimo de la tradición, de la liturgia y de todo lo que ha estado pasando después del Concilio Vaticano II. El Monseñor Atanasio Schneider es un experto. He is an expert in all these topics related to the crisis, related to Vatican II, related to the liturgy. So I invite the audience to click the links that we have below and to take advantage of those programs or episodes that we have recorded before with Monsignor Atanasio Schneider. Monsignor, if you don't have anything else to say, I would like to ask you if you can give us the benediction to the blessing to the audience and myself.
So thank you, dear Mr. Luis Roman, for your apostolate. I appreciate your commitment, your zeal. May God give us more such people, lay people who work for the faith. And this, such as your work and others, is a sign of hope and already a contribution for the true renewal of the Church. Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuum.
Et benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendat super vos et maniat semper. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Your Excellency. I really appreciated the time. Gracias por el tiempo. Y nada, vamos a estar orando mucho por usted. I ask for prayers for Monsignor Atanasio Schneider, who's very busy. He has a lot of friends, but he has a lot of enemies too. So we ask for, pedimos por las oraciones para el Monsignor Atanasio Schneider, quien está bien ocupado y tiene muchos amigos y muchos enemigos también, como ustedes ya saben. Y nada, de verdad que con eso nos despedimos. We say goodbye with that. Y Santa María, ora pro nobis. Que Dios me los bendiga. Bye bye.